Hey, it's Saturday night. Must be fall. Because we shift the showgram to Saturday nights. Because we know that you're going to be indoors getting the cabin fever. Because it's so cold out that no one would go fishing. Or did they? I was out fishing today. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about some tips to catch some fish in the fall. And work around the cold. Work around cold fronts and have some success. I had a little bit of success today, and I'll share a little bit of that with you. I broke my personal best for catching fish, so I was speed fishing today, and tomorrow we'll be going for bigger fish. So if you are following along, you can check us out live, blogtalkradio.com, always Saturday nights, and you can jump in the chat room there. Or you can call in, and the guest call-in number is 347-994-3267, and you can ask your fishing question about your lake, and specifically about how you can catch some more fish and have a good time. So let's get started. Fishing School, I'm Johnny Wilkins, I'm your host, and like I said, had a good day today, broke my personal speed fishing record. 30 minutes fishing, and I'll share that with you. 100 fish in 30 minutes? I think a lot better than that. Post-cold front fishing? Not a problem. Just keep it here. Fishing School.
Here's Johnny.
Are you ready?
I must say, I find your method of teaching very unusual.
Well, I did study with Dr. Errol von Strassenberger back in...
Who?
Oh, you don't know him? Oh, he's like one of the leading leaders in unusual methods. Actually, he's how I was appointed to the Presidential Council for Experimental Education Nurse. Read between the lines. Like to tell you about what we've been doing in here, but there's such a thing as teacher-student confidentiality, and I don't want to be in breach of education law because I could be dismembered by the teachers' union.
Are you ready?
get out there and melt some faces.
Yeah, welcome to the Vision School. I am your host, and as always, you can send an email to the showgram, radio@chicagovisionschool.com. I am Johnny Wilkins, and I always give a recap. I love fish. I like catching fish. And I think that, you know, like being on a boat, there's only one reason to go fishing. That is to catch fish. That is also the only reason that I justify being on a boat, is to go catch fish or to drive somewhere where you would go catch fish. So there you go. It's all about the catching, and that makes it fun for me. So, let's see. The Showgram Studio Lounge is located just on the outskirts of the city of Chicago. So we're in the suburbs, meaning I can see the city from where I live. So I'm close by. It's still pretty urban, but, you know, not downtown the city, but still very urban setting and tough fishing usually, tougher fishing. And so I have evolved my fishing so that I have success when I drive only, let's say, 10, 15 minutes to the spot. So today, we had an event at a local pond, and unfortunately, global warming has smacked us in the face with some what I would call dicey fall weather. So I guess this was the first day of fall. Welcome to fall. I have a nice wind burn, and the game time temperature for our event that was supposed to kick off this morning at 8 o'clock was wind chill in the 30s, 30 degrees. So welcome to September. So we're experiencing a little bit of fall weather, and it being the first day of fall, I thought, what better time to talk about catching fish when it is fall. Now, next week's showgram, I think we did talk about some trout on a previous showgram. And upcoming in our area is going to be the trout stocking. I think we have trout stocking near you, so it's a great time to get out and do some nice light. I hate the term ultralight. People really abuse that. The term ultralight has a few different meanings, and I think it's misused. I don't think anybody understands what ultralight. I think there's a couple columns, and if you want to check out some of my articles, you can check those out at ChicagoFishingSchool.com. So take a peek at that, and you'll see one of my articles is called Nobody Knows How to Fish Ultralight, and I describe what ultralight is. Some of my experience comes from overseas. I've been in 3 world championships, and I've seen different types of fishing that I never thought I would ever see, and an example is, you know, fishing with a size 20 hook on a 0.75-pound breaking strength line. That's something that I don't think I ever thought I would do. And I'm a convert. I used to have a tackle box, you know, a double-sided tackle box filled with plastics, jigs, rubber worms, crankbaits, and spinners and spinnerbaits. And so I used to have multiple tackle boxes like that. And I'd rarely go fishing around the Chicago area, around my city. So that would sit in the garage until it got time to be vacation, at which time, you know, we would drive 4 hours, 7 hours, 9 hours, 11 hours to a vacation fishing spot. And I'd dust off the cobwebs, break out the tackle box, and I'd fish a couple times a year. Well, I think that's backwards. So I think that people should fish several times a month, and they should fish very close to home. So you have many fish at your disposal very close to your home. So that's what the Showgram is dedicated to, is catching fish nearby. So if you do follow the techniques and you follow along and try and do some of these rigs, I understand it is a radio medium, it's audio, and I can't describe everything perfectly on the Showgram, but I try to. I try to at least broaden your horizons and introduce you to some new concepts and get you thinking. So if you get thinking, if that's all I ask, you don't need to get everything 100% clear just from listening to the podcast. You don't have to get the concept entirely down. In fact, if you just get 10% of the concept and you can, in your mind's eye, see what I'm describing, and if I can just get you to at least think about it, you can always ask any question, send me an email, radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and I will be glad to finish off a concept or discuss maybe something that you're trying to tackle by a lake by you. So it's a beautiful thing. This is your fishing show. That's why we're going to move to Saturday nights in the fall, which it is fall today. So welcome to fall. And if you are in a warmer part of the country, well, you have to, you know, wait a little bit before you experience some of the cold. But, man, did we get the cold today. It was so cold, I didn't even want to wet a line this morning. So I did some exploring. And like I said, it's good to get a little bit of a concept in your head and get something, you know, get a new thought going. Get a new lake going, explore some new waters. And think about some things. One thing on my mind is in 2013 up here in the Chicago area, if you were anywhere in the area and you are really enthused about fishing and catching fish and you want to see it go to a whole new level, in 2013 in the spring, we're going to launch what we're calling Irish League Fishing. And we call it Irish League Fishing because it's based on some of the match fishing that goes on in Ireland. Across the seas where fishing is really tough. So I think we want to, you know, we need a catchy name, and why not Irish? So the Irish Fishing League is going to consist of, you know, old school fishing from shore where anglers meet and then they draw numbered spots and they go out, and you've heard of it called, it's called course fishing overseas and match fishing. So it's basically a fishing league. And if you're interested in that, you know, definitely drop a line, drop me a line, cast a line via your email, radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and say, hey, I'm interested in that Irish Fishing League. And it's cheap, it's close to home, and it's everything that fishing should be. It is exciting. It's multi-species. Everybody can participate, from a brand-new angler to, you know, super experienced bass angler. If you want to challenge yourself and you want to broaden your fishing horizons, you can leave your entire bass armada, your giant collection of rods and tackle boxes, you can leave that behind, because when we're talking urban waters, you take the apex predator out of the formula. So you are basically fishing for everything else except for the apex predator. And a lot of people go for that bass because it's got a giant mouth. It's super aggressive. So if it's going to chase down something in the water, that's kind of fun, right? And it's kind of easy. Oops. I hope I didn't lose some people there. I didn't want to offend you. But they are aggressive fish. They do tend to attack baits. And so we're going to go for the other end of the spectrum, and that's fish that tend to not attack. They do the opposite. They're very subtle in their feeding. I did run into some attacking fish today, or I got them attacking, and so we'll talk about that later. I crushed my old record. My old record for catching fish in a half hour was 133 fish in a half hour. And I do enjoy what's called speed fishing, and it's simple. It's a telescopic pole. Heck, you could use a tree branch if you really wanted to. It's a fixed pole, and you go back and forth as fast as you can, set the hook, bring in the fish, get it off, get fresh bait on, go back at it, and you try and, you know, beat the clock. Fish as fast as you can. Fish without snagging, fish without tangling, and try and not miss any hook sets, and try and land as many fish as you can. So my previous record was 133 fish in 30 minutes. And so I did not know that post-cold front, I did use some of my techniques, which I'll get to a little bit later in the showgram. I used some of my techniques, which are post-cold front techniques, and working around cold fronts and drops in temperature, and being successful in catching fish despite that. So great fall topic for you. What are you going to do when the water suddenly takes a dip, whether it be from a cold storm, you know, a cold rainstorm, or a cold front, cold winds, even aggressive winds overnight can have a chilling effect on the water and drop that temperature and drop your fishing success, right? Well, there's some things you can do to work around that and actually play them in your favor. So today, set out this morning, and I was going to this get-together. Well, nobody got together because it was super cold. Like I said, game time temperature was really just below 50 degrees, 49 degrees, which doesn't seem cold. But then add in there a wind out of north at about 15 to 20 miles an hour, and that was cold. So it gave me some time to walk around and do some exploring and get some gear. And I actually up and went to a couple new lakes and talked to some different park district people and tried to explore some lakes. Well, the first lake I went to, someone mentioned that there was a fishing derby just a couple miles down the road. So I made my way over to the fishing derby. And I've checked this lake out before, and it had it has stunted fish in it. So for whatever reason, it's just not a healthy lake. It's a typical urban lake in that the predominant species is taken out. You know, the apex predators are taken out by humans. And what that leaves is an imbalanced lake. And so the predominant species is bluegill, and second, apparently, is bullhead. Not a good sign for a pond when the bullhead are taken over. That means you have a high incidence of winter kill, and that means that you have a bad oxygen situation. Something's wrong. You need to fix it either with aeration or try to run and pump in some new water, etc. But you got some problems there. So if you only got bullheads and goldfish left and all your bluegills and bass and everything are dead, that's a sign you got some problems. So I'm fishing on this lake, and I catch what I call, you know, micro bluegills. I mean tiny, 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 tiny bluegills. So I was working to fish in that cold wind, and one of the tips I'll give you for fall fishing is you got to keep your bait still. You got to use your pole tip or your rod tip to hold that line back and keep the line from blowing in the wind. So keep your bite indicator from just either drifting downwind or, you know, blowing away from you or blowing into you. Any which way, any direction, any of the four quadrants. It can blow towards you, away from you, left or right. So what you need to do is hold back against that and to prevent horizontal movement in the water. And that is going to increase the number of pickups you have for fall fishing, because fish just do not respond to that horizontal movement as a whole. Occasionally they will chase and they will nail a bait, but they need a vertical movement in order to trigger their best, you know, their best rapid strike to go after bait for you to catch them. Definitely found that out today, and as I said, I did break my record of, which was previously 133 fish in 30 minutes. Well, move the bar, ladies and gentlemen. I definitely moved. Why are they booing me? It's like these kids in the studio, they want me to fail. They're the whiz batch of kids I've ever met. Seriously? Okay. So, I don't know if we have, do we have anything good? I know what we need. Of course, I can't find it. Trying to dig out of the sound vault. My new previous record, the new record for speed fishing. Okay, set that up again. Cue it up. New record, 30 minutes of fishing, 203 fish. That's right, 203 fish. Now you got it, kids. Put that in your stocking. Okay, so 203 fish in 30 minutes is the new record. So I was happy to make some new friends today, and I did that exploring. So a brand new lake, I got it down. That was actually my first 30 minutes of fishing. So I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's 406 fish an hour. That's a good rate. I think I used to advertise on the site, you know, 115 fish per hour, FPH. I called it FPH. So we must have opened up a brand new Autobahn today, because 115 FPH, fish per hour, has been blown out of the water So I didn't maintain that pace for the 30-minute session, but I was able to catch over 400 fish, so 409 fish in an hour and a half. So it's by far the fastest I've ever fished and the most fish I've ever caught. And this is post-cold front. Well, let me tell you how I was able to do that. Okay, number one, and I always talk about this, have fantastic bait. Have great bait. It makes a difference because as the bait degrades on your hook, let's say you're on your third fish or fourth fish with that bait, well, that bait is going to degrade. It's not going to be as good as the first time you baited it up on your hook. So big key in keeping the fish moving is fresh bait and good quality bait. So you know our show sponsor is Vados Bait. So check out VadosBait.com, and that is where I get the bait for the Showgram. Other sponsors of the Showgram are Lee's Bait and Tackle, of course, in Carroll Stream. They got two stores, Carroll Stream and Elk Grove Village, and some cool stuff coming up from them. I'll keep it kind of top secret for now until we get some details going. But those of you in the Chicago area, you're going to have a nice little shopping set up in order to get some of the exclusive gear. And you can take a look at some of that gear. So some of the gear is available at livebaitfishingtackle.com. That's livebaitfishingtackle.com. And I understand that the people running that have made some improvements. So if you were there last week and you were there in the last couple of weeks, you'll see a dramatic difference in the way that it's laid out. Things are organized. And also, I understand people were having problems checking out or using the PayPal. It uses PayPal, so that's great because then it backs up. They back up and guarantee all their purchases, so you're guaranteed to getting some good stuff. And I personally guarantee anything shipped out of there, so I've been promised that the shipments would be fast and on time and accurate, and if anything's out of order at all, you send an email, and I've made sure that store, because I'm endorsing that the store, and I'm backing them. They have assured me that they're going to take care of any type of customer complaint at all. So check it out if you've not been there. That's livebaitfishingtackle.com, and you're going to see some of the gear. One of the floats that I used today to catch the 200 fish in a half hour, 203 fish in 30 minutes. So if the float that I'd used over there was a 0.5 gram. It's called a flip float. And you can check that out. Those are available there. But I used that, and I held it against the wind, as I'm saying, so that I did not allow the wind to blow it. So I used the pole tip against the wind. And I held it in check and allowed the fish to take it. So the situation was that, you know, I had a left-to-right wind going, then I had a right-to-left wind going, so I had to switch sides, and as the wind changes, you need to switch your rod tip or your pole tip, and you have to be into that wind. You need to battle that wind in order to catch the most fish. So I got the fish going, and once you start catching fish at a decent pace, the sound of the fish being caught actually draws more fish to that spot. So I was able to get it going and keep it going. Now, I'm quite pleased with 203 fish in a half hour, and again the 409 fish in an hour and a half. Those are real good paces. So I kept it going, and a couple of the other strategies besides checking your line is with the split shot. I noticed a couple things. One thing is get the split shot too close to the hook, and you actually confuse the fish, because they have two objects to look at. They have the bait and the split shot. So if there's a zone there. If you get that split shot within their vision zone and you have the hook and the split shot too close to each other, you know, space them out a bit. If you have them too close, the fish needs to check out both objects, and it actually slows the fish down in terms of taking the bait. So I noticed my catch rate would drop off if I had the split shot too close to the float. Now, if I had the split shot, no, I'm sorry, too close to the hook. If I had the split shot too far away from the hook, there were times when the fish was swallowing the bait because the bait was dropping so slowly that the fish would swim upward in the water column, attack it, and they'd be on there eating that bait and swallowing it down before I could set the hook fast enough. So you moving that split shot up and down away from that hook, that makes them take it in deeper. As you move it towards the hook, you prevent them from swallowing it. And if you move it too close to the hook, then, again, it's going to slow your catch rate down because the fish need to check out, hey, what's this little piece of lead over here? Oh, that's not it. This is the food over here. And then by the time they figure it out, well, you just slowed down your catch rate. So speed fishing, not for everybody, and that's fine if it's not for you. But what I use speed fishing for is to test out different tactics and techniques and rigs. And that helps you out. So if you just want to catch 50 fish, well, my speed fishing tells me these little fine adjustments and the position of the split shot will do this. It'll have this function for you and the same on your water. So use the information I give you from some of the extreme fishing conditions that I might be involved in for your regular fishing or, you know, your fishing. Maybe you do want to go to an extreme and you want to crank it up and you do want to catch, 100 fish in a half hour, 200 fish in a half hour, as I did today. And you want that. Well, in order to get that, you're going to have to adjust and you're going to have to learn on your own. I can't tell you everything, but you got to get out there and practice. So do check out our websites. They got a lot of valuable information. And I helped the guys at livebaitfishandtackle.com to organize some of that stuff. So the floats are now organized, and you'll have some. There's a little guide on the front page even. It shows you which float to buy for distance or which float is more sensitive. So check that out and take a look in there. They got some good prices, and they got actually a sale right now. And actually, there is... I got to get you guys a discount code. Just because you are a listener of the show, Graham, that means that you're entitled to a discount. So let me grab a commercial break, and when we get right back from the break, I'm going to give you guys a way to save some money on your fishing tackle. So get a pencil and some paper ready because I'll have a discount coupon for you. So be back in a minute, and we'll talk fall fishing tips when I return.
Attention. No fishing. Catching no fish. No bites.
Built for tough fishing all around North America, where fishing can be very difficult. Catches can be small, slim, or none. New fishing tackle from Chicago Tackle Company. Bear Tackle Floats, built only for catching fish. See our new line of sensitive live bait tackle coming soon across North America online. Get ready to see the bites you have been missing. Get ready to catch.
Attention.
Yeah, new. Okay, so you can get the best in live bait fishing tackle from the Bear Tackle Fishing Company. And this exclusive offer to the Showgram listeners, that's you. That's you. So get ready to win. I'm going to try and come up with more kind of money-saving deals and tips and coupons and offers for you guys. Because, again, thank you for listening so much. I can't believe the number of people across the country that are listening, so you must be passing this on to other people, and thanks for that. So when you do something for me, as our numbers have been growing on the monthly downloads, I do something for you. So here is a coupon, and it is good. It's good to go. So you can go to livebaitfishingtackle.com, and when you go to checkout, right at the bottom of the cart in the checkout, we make it easy for you. I've told them, like, don't make it complicated. I don't want to trick people. I don't want You want to offer them good stuff because, like I said, you're good people. You listen to the showgram, and you know, you're like buds. So here is my thank you. I got them to give you a coupon so you can get 15% off your total order. So 15% off all your floats and your hooks. They've actually got some floating jig heads on sale over there. I guess they're Mr. Twister floating jig heads, so they're good. So those are on sale. Plus, you get 15% off. So anybody's walleye or crappie fisherman, take advantage of those because that's like getting 30% off on those things. Here's your discount code. Ready? Type in school, S-C-H-O-O-L. Type that in the cart, and you will save 15% off your tackle. So the tackle prices are already really good in there, and so you'll save even more. Plus, like I said, throw some floating jig heads in that cart, and you're saving yourself 30% on those. So take advantage while they last. Also, we have enough. There's enough tackle in there, they tell me, for fall, but there are a few things, you know, that are kind of limited to a dish. So if you want the float, it's called the flip float. That's 0.5 or 0.8. Those are both good floats. And that is the float that I caught, the 203 fish in 30 minutes. So exciting news. I did do some exploring today, and part of my strategy was, and part of the strategy you should use when you get a cold front or a cold rainstorm overnight, is that you should tailor your fishing schedule to the weather. So if you see that you have an overcast day right after an immediate chill, so if you know the water has dropped, let's say, 5 degrees overnight, one thing that you can do is, one, use the sun. So use the sun to your advantage. So when you see the hourly forecast, and remember, I don't plan too far ahead for this, I always use the advantage within about the 12 or 14-hour window. So when I'm going to plan my next fishing day, I use that evening's forecast for the next day, the hourly forecast, pretty accurate once the forecasters are to that point. So I use that hourly forecast. You can find that like on weather.com. And the hourly forecast is going to pinpoint when the clouds are going to part, you know, within reason. And then when the rainbow is going to come out, when the leprechaun is going to reveal the pot of gold? No, not that. That would be in the Irish Fishing League, which is coming up next year. But no, it's going to reveal to you when the bank is going to warm up, when the sun is going to penetrate down into the shallows, and when it's going to warm up the fish. The fish are cold-blooded. They're going to respond to that warmth. It's like turn on the heat lamp, and it is like turning on the feed bag. So one thing I did is, I did some exploring in the morning when the sun was behind the clouds and when the wind was ripping. And then I went and grabbed some breakfast. Then I noticed that it was starting to get a little more sunny out. So I went to a couple new park districts, checked them out, and usually I check for depth. So I bring an extra weight along and use my telescopic pole, and I check for depth. And you kind of walk around, and you thump around on the bottom and thump, 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 and you can find some contours and figure out some stuff. And then next I went to the Fish and Derby, and I saw many people catching not much. So there were some big fish in there, and the cold front, because they're using bigger hooks, thicker line, et cetera, the cold front impacted their catch. And I did not fish in the Fish and Derby. This was a kind of kids only. So kudos to the Elmhurst Park District Fish and Derby. I saw them running a cool Fish and Derby. What they did was any kid that measured it, he weighed in or measured in and recorded a fish, was given a little ticket. And they had three different ticket colors. And they had bins with prizes in them. So the bin was just filled with stuff. And so if you came up with the kid caught a fish and it was in this size range, then they got a red ticket, and then a bigger fish, they got a yellow ticket, and then a bigger fish, they got a orange ticket, whatever, red, yellow, orange. So they could come and pick from the red bin or the orange bin or the yellow bin, whatever. And so that was nice. They had lots of prizes so that any kid who caught any fish was going to be rewarded. So very nice. I often am a little sad when I see only a couple of kids winning at a fishing derby. Okay, so I I started to fish at this place, and they manage the lake, but they really don't know the contents of the lake that well. So when I ask a question, are there any carp in the lake? And, you know, I'm told that the lake was drained. There are no carp in the lake. So they manage the lake, and they stock the lake based on, you know, what they think is in the lake. Nobody has a lot of funds where they can go and shock the lake and get a sampling of the lake and then figure out their stocking. I mean, that's pretty rare. But most of the people, they have their beliefs, and then they put fish in the lake based on their beliefs. And so the people who are running this event and who order the fish for stocking, they told me before the event they don't think there's carp in there. Well, I know there's a creek right behind it that contains carp, and I know for a fact that they have flooding, and they also have drainage out to that creek. So what's to say that small fish can't make their way up through that drainage when the water's high, et cetera? Well, sure enough, fish number 8 was a carp that I caught as I was testing out the lake. And also, sure enough, the lake has not changed that much in condition. I did catch a bass. Whoa. but I was fishing bluegill style. So it was a nice little bass. I don't know. It wasn't that big. Maybe 12 inches, 14 inches. I mean, big for me on a 2-pound test on a fixed line with no reel, but not that big. But for that pond, it was bigger than most of the fish. Considering that I caught, you know, a fish that was smaller than my little finger, I caught several of those. The bass seemed pretty big. So I confirmed my suspicions that the lake had not improved. And again, it's being stocked based on people's knowledge of what fish are in there without actually studying the fish in there. A great example, and a couple weeks ago I talked about lake management, and down south they're draining an entire lake and then poisoning any remaining fish and trying to get the carp out to fix the lake based on bass. So, careful, I'm going to bust into an Obama impression. So, maybe next week. As we get close to Election Day, I will have to rip off some Obama. And I'll have to work on my Romney, too. Not too good on the impression there for Mitt. But probably can do an Obama. Okay, so they're draining and poisoning the lake, and this reminds me of one of the great tragedies in Chicago, and that was the Lincoln Park Zoo poisoning their entire lake. This is a zoo, and they drained and poisoned the lake, and then they replied after they had to order a third semi-truck to haul away the fish. They ordered 2 extra semi-trucks than they thought they would have to haul away the fish that, quote, oh, we had no idea how many fish were in there. So, happy poisoning, zoo. Nice job. Actually, I'm not sure if it was the county or the zoo or a combination, but anyways, don't manage your lake based on guesses. Don't kill all your fish off. Bad move. I haven't been down there since, so I have a suspicion that there's stunted fish down there. I will give it a crack in a while, though, because I will have to come on the airwaves and talk about how carp are back in Lincoln Park Lagoon after they spent all the money and rehabbed and poisoned and drained the lake. The carp are back in. So I will have a last laugh there when that does occur, and I will head down and confirm it. But I just know that the lake is going to return to exactly what it was based on its surroundings. Same with that lake down central Illinois that they're draining and poisoning. It's going to return to the exact same condition it was in based on A, angling pressure, B, surroundings, and then C, you know, local natural stocking of the lake that would occur from waterfall, etc. So there you go. Let's see, what do we got on the agenda here?
Spanning the world to bring you a constant variety of fish news. From the Chum City Newsroom, here's your anchor, Johnny Wilkins.
That's what I was forgetting. Fish News. I'm Johnny Wilkins. Fish worth 8,500 pounds are stolen from pond. A retired couple had been left heartbroken after thieves stole pedigree fish worth a total of 8,500 pounds, or as we call it, $17,000. Burglars targeted the couple's home off Wash Lane, Bury, in early hours of Thursday and stole 15 koi carp, before returning 2 days later to steal two more. The couple had put up a 100-pound reward, $200, for information which leads to the conviction of the offenders. The woman, aged 73, said, "We are heartbroken." Or she said, "We are heartbroken. It is so sickening that anyone could do this once, let alone twice. In the same way that you get pedigreed dogs." Oh, wait, this is the news person. "In the same way that you get pedigreed dogs, these fish are in the same category. And though we brought them..." No, wait, this is the woman. "And though we bought them when they were small, they would cost about 500 pounds each now to buy as adults. You can't insure them and dare not replace them in case the thieves return." CCTV covering the garden... It's hard to go between the British lady and the news guy. CCTV covering the garden reveals... Oh, that's cool. Circuit television covering the garden reveals the first thief took... First theft took place between 12:30 a.m., or as she would say, 3 a.m. last Thursday. The couple said the camera picked up torches and shadows of a man picking up the fish. It seems like it's been robbed by the mob that was chasing Frankenstein. The camera picked up torches and shadows of a man. I think they mean flashlights. Over here across the pond, we call them flashlights. Picking up the fish and passing them over a fence to an accomplice. The footage suggests the thieves left with some of the fish and returned 30 minutes later to steal more. The woman added, I was horrified to see the footage. To know that someone had been on a garden and stolen our fish is dreadful. 2 days later, cameras filmed a man scooping up two more of the carp into fishing nets at a similar time in the morning. Police said they believe the incidents are linked and have appealed for anyone with information to call 101, or as we call it, 911. Fish thieves. The lowest form of scum on the planet. Boo. Yes, boo. Carp coming out at 40 pounds plus from Sinikint Lake. Some big fish have come to the banks of the Sinikint Lake at Emperor Lakes, with Lee Cooper landing an absolute cracker named Moth at 40 pounds 2 ounces. Jason Edwards used Torbay angling baits to bag a 30-pound, 4-ounce Mira, and Nigel Rogers endured a tough couple of days, before finally being rewarded with another Mira, 30-pound, 12 ounces. Owner David Lidstone also got amongst fish with a nine pike into... Oh, that's a typo. Oof. With nine pike into double figures when he had a few hours lure fishing. So he caught nine pike over 10 pound. Several fish well over 40 pounds have come out of the syndicate water. A limited number of six-month tickets are available at 330 pound, or as we call it, I got to do the math, $600. So you get a six-month pass to fish these waters for $600. Which run from October to April of next year. And it says contact. Here's the number. You want to call David. It's overseas. I'll give it to you offline. You can email me. On the specimen lakes, the team have welcomed Advanced Carp Magazine angler Stephen Renard and local rod Aaron Fisher, who compiled a feature. He's just called the local rod. Aaron Fisher, who compiled a feature to be seen in print soon, because he's a slow typist. Between them, they managed fish of 28 pound 12 ounces on Raynard's new bait under a test and a bonus catfish of 32 pound. Guy Bennett netted a 4 pound plus eel and 5 carp to 17 pound 4 ounces using baits, which also accounted for 5 fish, including a brace of 27 pound 10 ounces and 32 pound 1 ounces for venue regular David Wood. Okay, so they're catching 30 pound 40 pounds worth of fish, and some big whoppers. 4-pound eel, that's a huge eel. Anybody notice anything different about fishing overseas? Okay, so finally on the specimen lakes, Joe Brimblecombe slipped the net under a cracking cat of 32 pound 8 ounces and a mid-double common. Beautiful work, Joe. Plenty of tench out, too, this week, especially from Amy Poole and Rod Worrell, taking the best of them, with a fish in excess of 7 pound. Tench. We don't have any tench. Other anglers were reporting mixed bags of 50 pound plus to a variety of tactics. Emperor Lake's latest Facebook competition winner is David Hill from Torquay, who has already booked his spot. Oh, so he won a free trip, but he's already booked. Good for him. Nice going, David. The fishery is running 2 freebie competitions a month for Facebook, so check that out. So that is Fishing News. I'm Johnny Wilkins. Yeah, so I wanted to give you a little taste of some of the action over. I guess the first one's kind of like a fishing burger. We always feature, like, the scum of the earth. It's like Cops, except with fish. We always have to feature scumbags who would steal somebody's fish. That's the lowest. But the second one, you can see kind of like they value their different species. And, hey, a 30-pound fish is a good fish, right? And a 40-pound fish is a good fish. It doesn't matter what color it is or what shape face it is or, you know, that's a good fish, right? Right. Okay. So, fall tips. I got to finish up with fall tips because we're running low on time here. Some other fall tips. Time to start reducing the size of your hook that you do over summer. And as you run into cold fronts, this goes for post-cold rain, you need to go smaller than you think to have success. So go as small as you possibly can and still have a good, you know, hook presence with the bait. So go a little smaller than you would normally with your hook on post-cold front conditions. Another tip, as I said, use the 12-hour forecast to your advantage and plan your fishing day based on some of the sun heating up some of the shallows and the water. So you're going to fish maybe 2 hours after the sun comes out. That's post-cold front, and that's going to pay off in fish. The one I said earlier, make sure that you present the bait with a vertical drop and do not allow the wind to carry the bait in a horizontal fashion, because that is going to cut down on the number of fish that you catch. They just don't like that presentation. It's not natural. And plus your water is super cold, so they're not going to chase the bait like they normally would. Another post-cold front tip is to change your bait more frequently than you normally would. I'm getting the signal from the producer, 2 minutes. What does that mean? Okay, so change your bait. Fresh bait is going to catch you in an accelerated fashion. Like I said, today when I'm in the middle of the throes of fish flying through the air in my 30 minutes with 203 fish, I could definitely tell when the catch rate would drop off and it would be time to change the old bait. As soon as I put the fresh bait on, bang, fish right away. So in your neck of the woods, if you change out your bait, it's going to result in you catching fish. So do not sit there with bait on the hook for any length of time. If you're sitting, you've got plenty of time. Change your bait. If you're not catching any fish, change your bait. Change it. Even if you're not catching, change it. Okay? Pretty simple. Don't just sit there with dead bait. Or you might as well be sitting in a pub or in a local hash brown restaurant. They have those, right? Okay, speaking of which, anybody see the menus at McDonald's? They put all the calories up on the menus. I don't think this is going to be sustainable for too much longer. I mean, if you go into order and you look at, I would like 1,400 calories, please. I don't think that's going to work. It definitely affected my eating this morning. So there you go. That's really like a fall human feeding tip, but there you go. We try to please all here. So finally, I guess, go watch the split shot. We talked about that. Split shot too close to the hook is a bad thing when fish are sight feeders. They're checking out the bait before they eat it. There were plenty of times, like I said, when the bait would degrade and the bait would fall in the water column and just kind of sit there, the fish were definitely swimming up to it, sitting right in front of it and saying, nah, I'm good. Keep it. So put the fresh bait on. Don't have the split shot too close to that bait. And voila, they run right up to it and they grab it as fast as they can. Let's see what else. Bait care in the fall, same as before. You need to keep it chilled. Take care of the bait because great bait catches great fish. Bad bait, bad catch. Pretty simple. Do give my friends at VedosBait.com some love. Visit them, grab a neighbor, and bulk up on some awesome bait because actually fall is a great time to catch fish. I don't know why it is. The water tends to start going the other way, right? It's been hot all summer, and the fish just get ultra comfortable in a little lower water temperature, and they get ready to feed, and that is nature's way of making the fish ready for the long winter, in which they don't eat, or they eat much less if you're down in the southern states in the warmer water. Up here, we're going to be driving trucks on top of those fish, and they pretty much eat next to nothing. So they have to bulk up right now so that it lasts them, through the chills of winter and global warming as we have it. Because I need to go get some warmth on me. I'm going to go sit in a hot tub to make up for this morning's global warming, where I think I have windburn and I can't feel my fingers. So I will. I'll be digging out of that. Let's see what else for fall fishing tips. Don't be afraid of the wind. Some of my best catches have been with the wind ripping into my face. And I say, if you have a choice, don't fish with the wind at your back. Okay? I know it's harder to cast, but some of my best catches ever have come in the fall with the wind in my face. It's real super cold. As I said, I got a good wind burn today. I'm looking like maybe I should go Miami Vice or something. Looking pretty suave. But I know that's like going to flake off because it's all just wind shear. But do fish with your face into the wind, and you'll have shorter casts, but you'll be rewarded because I don't know what it is. It's oxygen. It's the current. It's the reverse current off that wind into the shore, but usually that results in good fishing. So don't just get on the quietest bay where you're out of the wind and decide that this is going to be good for the fish, because it might not be. If you have the wind in your face, usually you're rewarded for having to work a little extra. So let's see what else. Try some shallow water in the fall. Fish tend to get up into the shallows where the water heats up. So they will migrate in off the deep water into the shallows. And like, for instance, Lake Michigan, you have steelhead and coho salmon right now, and they are in like 50 feet of water, and they are moving off that 50 feet of water when the temperatures shift into the harbors, and that is wind-related. When the wind is right, the coho come out of that 50 foot of water, and they'll go right into the harbors. They'll follow the temperature in, or that triggers them to migrate in there. So if you're in the Great Lakes regions, check out some salmon fishing and get on some of that. Last week I did go salmon fishing, and I did limit out, so I will have to talk about Captain Rich. It's an amazing charter boat experience, so we'll have to do a little salmon fishing maybe before we do our trout fishing. So I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired, wind burnt from fishing today. I can say I caught 409 fish, so it was a good hour and a half. That was the time I spent out there fishing at the pond when I really strapped it on. So great bait, great day fishing, and it turned out to be a fantastic day as I played the fall temperatures. So don't forget, check out, like I said, livebaitfishandtackle.com, and you'll see it's all revamped, and it's kind of cool. You'll see some different categories in that, and you can check out that float, the one that caught 409 fish today. So send me any of your fishing questions to radio@chicagofishingschool.com, and next week on Saturdays at 8 p.m., that's 9 p.m. Eastern time, you can dial into the showgram. So write this number down because it stays the same every week. 347-994-3267. That's the direct line to the Trevor City Studio Lounge. So we'll pick you up on the studio showgram board and we'll fire you right in. You'll light that up and you can ask your fishing questions. Or if you're too shy, I mean, that's not your thing, you can follow us at Twitter. That's Twitter. Twitter. It's like a little bird. And he's got ADD. So he's... if you're an Apple user, how about that new iOS? Man, I'm drifting to that. Okay, so if you go to twitter.com/... You can just look us up. We are... we're running out of time, that's why. Okay. No wonder people can't find me. I can't find myself. All right. Well, we're wrap it up, definitely. Twitter bird. I'm not getting any help here from that. Across the way. Just turn it on the controls. Okay, so check ChicagoFishingSchool.com. It's got all the links and stuff, all the goodies there. Don't forget, if you check out on livebaitfishing.com, that was the thing I was trying to remember. Don't forget, you got a discount coupon, 15% off. Type in school. And then let me know. Let me know. If you have any problems setting any gear up, send me an email. Send me your depth of the water you're at, you know, what type of conditions you have in the lake, what type of bait you're using, what type of fish you're going after, and I will help you out personally. Or, of course, you can always tune in to the Fishing School here live. So I am going to let you go so I can catch you again next week. So tune in live here on Saturday nights, and you can dial in and win a new car. No, you can't do that. But you can catch a lot of fish and learn some cool stuff. And that'll do it for me. I'm Johnny Wilkins. I'm letting you go. You get out there. You have good fishing. I'll catch you and talk. Here.